Well, I'm really very privileged to be with you this morning, and I would like to thank you all for a kind invitation to visit your church, and I'm also glad that I do not need an interpreter. This way, and this way I'll be able to share with you more about what the Lord does in my country and in other countries of Eastern Europe. Well, last Sunday in my church, I asked the church to pray for me for my visit to the United States, and I also was asked by my pastor and the whole church to convey Christian greetings to you. And although the ocean separates us, we are one in Christ, and we are all saved by His grace, and we are cleansed by His blood. And so I'm really privileged to share the testimony with you. I would like to say a few words about my family background, and also how the Lord saved me, and how He called me to this special ministry among the Jewish people of Poland and Eastern Europe, especially in St. Petersburg, Russia. And so in the 11 a.m. service, I will take you for the trip to Eastern Europe. But first of all, I would like to read perhaps a few verses from the book of Psalms, Psalm 66. Psalm 66, please, and we'll read from verse 16 to the end of the psalm. Psalm 66, from verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. And when I read these verses, it's like the testimony of my life. There was a time I was lost on the way to hell, and the Lord showed me mercy. He saved me by His grace. He heard my prayer, and I became His child and His servant. But I would like to tell you something about my family. My great-grandfather was a German Jew who lived in a Polish territory, but there was no Poland at that time. That was before the First World War, when Poland did not exist on the map of Europe. And his name was a Bible name. His name was Nicodemus, a name from the New Testament and not from the Old Testament. But this is all I know about him. I do not know even my great-grandmother's name. My great-grandfather, he died in 1901 or 02. And then in 1914, my great-grandmother died. And so my grandfather was an orphan. At the beginning of the First World War, he was just an orphan of 12 years of age. And so he was raised in some Catholic family. As you know, there are many Roman Catholics in Poland. And he was raised in that Catholic family, and he wanted to become a Catholic priest. So he went to the Catholic seminary for studies. And there, during his studies, he started to read the Bible. He started to read the Bible, and he took the Word of God seriously, and he got saved, and he quit the seminary. And so that was the end of his life with that family. He was regarded as a dead person. And so he was so glad to find a spiritual family in the local Baptist church of which he became a member in 1928. That evangelical Baptist church I visited 5 years ago. It still exists. It's located in the town Lida in northern Belarus, which used to be a Polish territory before the Second World War. And the present pastor of that church, he showed me the registry books of that church, and I found the name of my grandfather and of my grandmother on the list of the church membership. And so later on, he became the pastor of that church. But before becoming a pastor, he was like an evangelist. He was traveling from village to village in eastern Poland, distributing gospel tracts or New Testaments, or meeting with people for Bible reading, just to testify to them about Christ. And very often he had to face some opposition, because not all the people were very much polite to him. Some threw at him questions, they had many, but others threw at him potatoes or tomatoes, sometimes even stones. But he was never discouraged. He just continued with this ministry of tract distribution and witnessing about Christ. And then the Baptist pastor of that church suggested that he should go to the seminary. And so he decided to go to the German Baptist Seminary in Łódź, in central Poland. And it was not easy to get to that seminary. Although they accepted Slavic students, they had to be put on trial first if they can really study in that seminary. So they had like 3 monthly studying, and later on they were all sent home, these like 30 candidates, and only 12 were invited back for further studies. And my grandfather was in that number. And when he graduated from this German Baptist seminary, he became a church planter. He went to the place called Słonim, which is in Belarus today, and he planted a new church. In 3 years, there were 100 people in that church, and because of the gospel effort. And later on, just before the Second World War, he was asked to move from Słonim back to Lida, where that first church was, to become the pastor of that church. And he was in that church during the wartime. My mother was born 3 years before the Second World War started, and my aunt that at present lives in England, she was born in 1939, in October, so just after the war started. It was a difficult time, really, for my grandfather's family, but he was always faithful to the Lord, and he always depended on God's provision, whatever circumstances. And I can tell you just one example, one story from his life, how the Lord is able to answer prayers above all that we think or ask, as we read in Ephesians. He is able to do much more than we can imagine. It was an October evening, 1939. The shops were obviously closed, the wartime, no food to buy, and a small baby at home, no milk, nothing. And so he prayed that the Lord will provide daily bread for tomorrow. And that's it. And he went to bed. In the middle of the night, there was banging at the door. He was so frightened. It's a wartime. What's going on? And he was even more surprised when he saw the Catholic priest at the door. And there in the yard, there was his cart full of food. He brought the foal with his horse, a cart loaded with food for my grandfather. So my grandfather asked him why. And he told the story. And he said he was woken up during the night by some voice. He doesn't know if it was the Lord himself or the angel. Has no idea. But the voice told him, you must take that food and get it to this Baptist pastor. He was really surprised, and at first he thought that it must have been a bad dream. Impossible. So, like in the story of Samuel, he was woken up the second time. And again the Lord or the angel spoke to him saying, well, get up, load the cart with food, go to this Baptist pastor. If not, you will die in the morning. So that's why he decided rather to to do it quickly. And he started on his journey. And he knew where the Baptist church was, but he had no idea where my grandfather lived. And so he came to the road crossing. He wanted to go to the left, and the horse stopped. He would not go. He started to beat him. No way. So he gave up. The horse turned right and stopped at the gate of my grandfather's house. It is really unusual answer. It happened only once in my grandfather's life, but it was God's answer for his simple prayer. And so he was grateful to the Lord for this provision. Certainly, that is the Lord's name, that God can provide. God can provide. And later on, he was the Baptist pastor in that church of, well, being himself of German origin, German Jews. So he knew that there were some Jewish Christians in the ghetto. And so after one morning meeting, he asked one question, who will go with me to the ghetto to meet the Christians there? And you should know that they were not allowed. Nobody was allowed to enter the ghetto without special permission during the wartime. And so it was like a very amazing request. But two Christians said, okay, we'll go. We'll risk our life, but we'll go just to meet other Christians, to have the breaking of bread with them and time of prayer and time of fellowship. And so my grandfather went with these two other Christians to the ghetto gate where the German guard stood, and he said Guten Morgen to him, and he opened the gate and come in. He thought that he was German. So he found these Christians, he had the time of fellowship. On the way back, it was the same guard. He said to him, Auf Wiedersehen, that's goodbye. And that was the amazing story. On another occasion, during the end of the war, the Germans had some Russian prisoners of war. So they had to do some work, digging trenches or whatever it was. And obviously they had not enough food. So one of them, he made a small wooden toy. And my mother liked that toy. And he pressed my grandfather, get that toy for me. So he went to that Russian prisoner. And my grandfather, he knew Russian. He spoke Russian as well. And so he started speaking with that man. And again, a German guard was polite just to turn back, that he didn't see. Nobody was allowed to approach these Russian soldiers who were prisoners. And it happened that this one man in the whole group was a Christian. So he said to him, okay, I will bring you some food on the way back from the church, and we'll see what we can do. And on the way back, he brought him some bread and asked him all kinds of questions about his family. And next day, on Monday morning, my grandfather went to the Gestapo office and asked for the release of that man. This German officer was so surprised, he said, well, you are kidding. Can't you realize that not many people who come to my office ever get out? And he said, yeah, I know, my grandfather answered, but you are the only one who can give that order to release that man. So that's why I came here and ask you. So he said, okay, I'll grant that under one condition. He will have to report, as long as we are stationed here as German troops, he will have to report to my office every day. One day he's missing, you and your family will be shot. So my grandfather agreed. Well, that's okay. I'll take that risk. And that man, he was released. He got job. He was paid with oil, no money. But he could exchange oil for sugar and flour and whatever was needed, and he could feed my family for a few months. That was God's provision again. And so my grandfather also hid one Jewish man in his house. You know that only in Polish territories that was a death sentence for doing that. So he took that risk to save that man's life. And after the war, my grandfather moved to central Poland, but my whole family was scattered. Today, some live in England, some live in Germany, some live in Poland, some live in Belarus, some in Kazakhstan, and my mother's uncle is with the Lord now, but he used to live in the Far East Russia. So it's really, we could not meet as a family. But I am so glad that I had this Christian upbringing in my life, this wonderful Christian heritage in my life. I always say, and it's to the glory of our God, that I'm a very privileged person, being the fourth generation of born-again Christians in my life. It's God's grace and God's mercy. It's no merit of whatever sort. And I'm even more grateful that my daughter Martha, she's saved, and she's the fifth generation. And I pray that three other children in my family will become saved as soon as possible. My mother, she is quite a character, I must tell. A very brave woman, like my grandfather. Although it was not easy for her, she took me to the Christian meetings, to the Sunday school, to the services, from childhood. So I could say, like Timothy, that from childhood I knew the scriptures to make me wise unto salvation. But when I was born as a twin. My brother, Christopher, died the second day. So my mother prayed, and the whole church prayed that the Lord will spare me, that I could live. It's difficult to imagine, but my weight was like 2 pounds. So at that time, they also prayed that I'll gain weight as quick as possible. Today, they pray that I will lose some weight. But you see, my mother's prayer was very strange. She told me only when I got saved what she prayed at that time. And she prayed that if I am not to become God's servant, let the Lord take me, like my brother. But if I am going to live, she prays that I would become saved and God's servant. And she had to wait 15 years to see that prayer answered. And I was saved at the Christian camp near Warsaw. At that time, I thought about myself, well, I'm just a good boy. I go to the church, I go to all the services, I read the Bible, I pray, I'm okay. Why should I be saved if I'm so good? But at that camp, we studied the book of Joshua in the morning and Ephesians in the evening. And the Lord spoke at the end of the camp to my heart through one verse from the book of Joshua. And it's Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5. And that verse spoke to my heart. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And when I paused, after reading that verse, I had to ask myself some questions about this verse. And do I really take diligent heed to do the commandments of the Lord? And I had to tell, well, I don't. I very often don't. And also, do I love the Lord with all my heart? And I remember on one occasion a brother asked in the meeting, what is the greatest sin? What is the greatest sin? And, well, obviously we do not say that there are some sins bigger than others, but what he meant was, is it a particular sin that is the greatest? And he said, in a sense, it is the sin against the first commandment, that you'll love your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength. And if you do not love the Lord like that, that is sin. And if it is the greatest commandment, so your sin would be the greatest. So it's not just the murder or stealing or whatever. It's not loving the Lord. And this is the root of all sin. And so I had to admit, reading that verse, that I'm a sinner. The Lord spoke to my heart through this verse. I had to confess, Lord, I do not love you with all my heart. Lord, I do not walk in all your ways. I was not even on the narrow way yet. And I do not keep your commandments. I do not serve you. So I confess that sin to the Lord and I ask his forgiveness. I ask him to change my life, to cleanse my heart, to make me God's child and God's servant. In the evening, we read from Ephesians chapter 6. And in that chapter, we read, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And that was my first advice from the Lord, from the Bible, for my whole life. Be strong in the Lord. And so I was saved. And 2 months later, I was baptized in my church. I became a member of this evangelical church in Warsaw. And I started to serve the Lord. I always thought about being a preacher. So I took my first lessons in preaching in home Bible studies. There are some widows in my church that invited me for the home time of Bible study and prayer. Especially when they were not well, they could not come to the church service. So I visited them. It was like a ministry to the widows. And the Lord prepared me in that way to speak to people, to preach. That were the first steps in my life. And later on, I went to the Bible College in England. I had 1 year break in my engineering studies, electrical engineering studies in Warsaw. And so I had to take 2 years course in just in 1 year in that Bible college. It was not easy, but I managed. And I returned home to finish my education. And when I graduated, I had my master's degree in electrical engineering. And then I got married. And with my wife, Anna, she's my one and only wife. And beloved wife, and as it is written in your leaflet, we will have 20th anniversary this October. And we look forward to that. And this is a special day for us, October 24th, because my oldest son was born exactly on that day, my firstborn son. He will be 18. 2 months later, after we got married, I was called to the army for the national service for 1 year. I only thought, well, if we could live in Israel in the Bible times, in the Old Testament, they had, like, after getting married, they had 1 year until they were allowed to be called to the army. But I was called 2 months after I got married. So I had to say goodbye to my wife, and I went. So it was a sad evening for her. It was still a communist time. When I get there to the army post, there were 120 soldiers, all university graduates. Only two had Bibles. It was myself and some other one from the Adventist church. And all the rest, they didn't care about the Bible, about God, or whatever. And so on one occasion when we had training in the field, the rooms were searched and my Bible was found. So in the evening I had to report to the commanding officer right away. Why did I bring the Bible to this army post? And my answer was very simple, because I read the Bible every day. That's why I took it with me. So he told me, okay, I will take this Bible away from you, and when you go home for the first time, you'll have some 3 days off, you'll take this Bible home and you'll leave it there. Don't bring your Bible here. So I had to agree. I had no other choice. I said, okay, I will do it. One thing that officer did not know was that I had my New Testament pocket size with me also. And if that was taken away from me, I still had the Gospel of John. And if that was taken away, I had some Bible verses in my mind. So in my heart also. And I remember I took time as a teenager just to memorize as many Bible verses as I could. And I memorized like 60 or so, just to have them in as my treasury. Because when I met my grandfather's co-worker in Belarus, like 5 years ago, he's with the Lord now. He was in his 90s at that time. He told me how he was arrested and put to hard labor camp in Russia. And the Bible was taken away from him. He was sent to the north of Russia alongside with murderers. They were all criminals in that labor camp and him as a pastor. They just wanted to break him down and to intimidate him. When he was arrested, it was a show trial for 1 week, and then his wife was allowed just to hear the verdict. 8 years of hard labor camp for being for the husband, because he was involved in preaching of the gospel. That was his crime. And earlier, he worked because he had to work in a factory, but he organized home Bible study meetings. And on one occasion, police came, secret police, KGB, and they told him, well, you will be fined for organizing such Bible study group in your home. It's illegal, and you will be fined 20% of your monthly salary. Can you imagine? And he paid 20% right away. Next week, he had another Bible meeting. He was this kind of person. They could not break him. And so what they wanted to do, he had to go to work for 8 hours in the factory. Then when he was leaving the factory, they were waiting for him at the gate just to arrest him, put him to prison. He had under arrest. He had interrogation during the night, questioning at 2 or 3 a.m., and then he was released at 6 a.m. to go to work. And that was for 2 weeks. He was completely exhausted physically, and so finally he said, please arrest me and put me in prison, because at least I could sleep there all right. He was this kind of man, and like my grandfather, and I was privileged to hear his testimony and how he served the Lord. He was twice in hard labor camp for a few years. No Bible for 5 years. Only what he memorized, that was his Bible. Other Christians, they tried to send him letters, quoting Bible verses in the letter. It was all confiscated. He received a pile of letters when he was released. We read in Hebrews 10 that some people lost their possessions as Christians. He was one of them. 2 weeks after his arrest, again, some authorities came to his apartment and they told his wife, you do not deserve this two-room apartment because your husband is a criminal. You'll have to move to a one-room apartment. You do not deserve that. So she had no other choice just to pack things and leave. And so this kind of persecution was in Russia. But in Poland, thank God, we had no such persecution. We had hardships, but no persecution. Only in the early 50s, when Stalin was still alive, Christians were arrested and put to prison. on one occasion my grandfather and my 12-year-old mother were arrested for the home Bible study, having home Bible study. But they were released next day. So we had these difficulties. But I lived in a time when it was not that bad in Poland. We had privileges. We could travel to the West. So I occasionally traveled to England. This is how I learned English. And I also could study in Britain. And I continued with the working for the Lord in Poland. I was a pastor of a small church for 15 years. And then, at the same time, I worked as an engineer. And on one occasion, I read the Bible. I read the book of Judges. I read the story of Gideon. And the Lord again spoke to my heart through that book, through one verse from the book of Judges, chapter 6. Yeah, verse 14, chapter 6. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And that was God's call for me for the work among the Jewish people. Go and save Israel. My reaction was like Gideon. Well, or like Moses, send somebody else. But then I realized that it is exactly the same as in the case of apostles on the Mount of Olives, when the Lord Jesus told them that he has all authority. He wants them to go and make disciples of all nations. And he led them with one promise: I will be with you always. And here we have exactly the same. Go and proclaim the gospel for the salvation of these Jewish people. And in verse 16, it says, "Surely I will be with thee." So I said, "Okay, Lord, I will go. Here am I. I am available. I will go." And I met one sister. She's 88 today. She's with the Friends of Israel since 1961. Maybe you heard the name Sister Alice. That's not her real name. That was her pseudonym. She prayed for me. And she prayed that the Lord will call me to this ministry. But she never told me about it. So when I had this calling, I went to her just to ask what she thinks. If I will work among the Jewish people and witness to them about Christ as their Messiah. And she said, "Oh, wonderful. I prayed for you a few months and I waited upon the Lord to call you to this ministry." So I was even more surprised. And I said, "Okay, I will work among the Jewish people in Poland and Eastern Europe." And so she recommended me to the Friends of Israel. I went there in 2001, in February. I met with the mission board. I was accepted in 5 minutes. And I started my ministry with the Friends of Israel in that year. But I said to David Levy, my mission director, I told him, "Okay, I have to go back to my research office where I work as an engineer to say to my boss that within 1 month I will quit my job, and so I can start with the Friends of Israel on the 1st of April. So he agreed, and I went back home. I went to my office. I usually started my work at 7 a.m. 5 minutes after, my boss calls me to his office. I was really surprised and afraid what happened. At my absence, something wrong. I came to his office. I asked him what's the matter, and he said, I have bad news for you. This office, research office, will be closed at the end of March." So I had only one question: when or what day that decision was made? And he said, "February 20th. That was exactly the date I was accepted with the Friends of Israel. And the Lord gave me this confirmation that he calls me, he wants me to leave that job and be full-time worker in Poland and in Eastern Europe. And so this is how I started my ministry with the Friends of Israel. And in next service, I will show you the PowerPoint presentation, and I will tell you more about different aspects of this ministry in my country and abroad.